Wait till I see it. Great, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission meeting of Wednesday, May 7th, 2025, called to order at 12:02 p.m. Could we go ahead and have roll call, please?
Yes. Allison Doggy?
Here.
Andrew Christopher?
Here.
Blake Houghton?
It's sorry. Houghton, I think.
Houghton and present. I'm sorry, my mic was on.
Carlos Lozano?
Here.
Courtney Marks?
Here.
Gary Miner?
Gary, you're on mute.
I'll call him back. Helen Erickson?
Here.
Gary Miner, that was here, and Helen Erickson here. Okay. Joel Ireland? No. Julie Rigoli?
Here.
Ken Scoville?
Present.
Kathy Kubisch?
Here.
Maro Pejo?
Here.
Peter Steer?
Here.
Savannah McDonald?
Here.
Seth Grady?
Here.
Terry Majewski?
Here.
Tim Hagar?
Here.
I have 17.
I've got 16. 12.
This is JJ. I missed my name.
I thought I called you JJ?
Here.
So, yeah, that should be 17. The only one I'm missing is Joel Ireland.
So 17, right? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Thank you. Item 2 is the land acknowledgement. Commissioner Lozano, could you give that for us, please?
Thanks. On behalf of the residents of the City of Tucson, the City of South Tucson, and Pima County, we honor the tribal nations who have served as caretakers of this land from time immemorial and respectfully acknowledge the ancestral homelands of the Tohono O'odham Nation and the multi-millennial presence of the Pascoyaki tribe within Pima County. Consistent with the TPCHC's commitment to diversity and inclusion, we strive toward building equal partner relationships with Arizona's tribal nations.
Thank you, Carlos. Item 3 is approval of the revised TPCHC minutes from the meeting of 4-9-25. Could I have a motion to approve as submitted, please?
This is JJ. I'll so move.
Thank you. Is there a second?
This is Helen. I'll second.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Okay. Let's go ahead and call roll on that, please.
Okay. Allison Doggy?
Aye.
Andrew Christopher?
Aye.
Blake Houghton, I'm so sorry if I'm not saying it right. Houghton.
I appreciate you making an effort, Carla. Aye.
Thank you. Carlos Lozano.
Aye.
Courtney Marks.
Aye.
Gary Miner.
Aye.
Helen Erickson.
Aye.
JJ Lamb.
Aye.
Julie Rigoli.
Aye.
Ken Scoville.
Yes.
Kathy Kubisch.
Aye.
Maro Trejo?
Aye.
Peter Steer?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Stephen Grady?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Hagyard?
Aye.
Motion passes 17-0.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Item 4 is chairperson summary of current events. The only thing I have right now is to remind you of next week's 2025 Preserve Arizona Conference. I did send out a message some time ago to commissioners who wanted to put in for scholarship to attend the meeting with the registration covered. But to do that, you would have to attend the commissioner training on the Wednesday afternoon of the conference. And I don't know if, I know that Commissioner Miner has done so, but I don't know if anyone else has. I will be there, and I don't know who else will be there, but I hope to see some of you there. JJ will be there. Ellen, who is a usual attender, has a conflicting meeting, I believe. And other people have different things.
Sorry, Gary, I found out about the Arizona Preservation meeting after that.
No, this is how this happens a lot of times. I look forward to seeing those of you who can be there attend, and we'll report back on that. It should be a very good conference. I'm sure Desiree will be there, and Courtney, hopefully, and some other folks. Item 5 is recently posted subcommittee LAR/minutes, and just wanted to remind you, as always, that the posted minutes in LAR are at that link, and you can read them at your leisure. And there's been quite a flurry of them, so I encourage you to take a look if you're interested. Item 6 is appointment of Ricky Riojas as the TPCHC non-voting advisory member. Now, on the city side, we're allowed to have several of these, and former Commissioner John Levesick is one already, but Ricky, since she is no longer on the commission, is working as hard, if not harder, as she, you know, as she did when she was a commissioner. So out of respect to her and her time, and she is a resident of the city of Tucson, which is a requirement for a city appointee, I would entertain a motion to appoint her as the TPCHC non-voting advisory member, and the commission has the ability to do that. So is there a motion?
Ellen moves.
This is JJ, I'll second.
Thank you. Is there any question about that? I do have a question for Carla and Anna. I believe that non-voting advisory members still have to have paperwork and so on, correct?
Correct.
And I will send you her details after the meeting.
Okay. If,
you probably already have them, but I'll just confirm.
Sounds good.
Okay, let's go ahead and call roll, please.
Okay, Allison Doggy?
Aye.
Andrew Christopher?
Aye.
Blake Coaten?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Aye.
Gary Miner?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
JJ Lamb?
Aye.
Julie Rigoli?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Yes.
Kathy Kubish?
Aye.
Maro Trejo?
Aye.
Peter Steer?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Stephen Grady?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Hagyard?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes 17-0.
Perfect. Great, thank you. Item 7 is removal appointments to TPCHC subcommittees, working groups, and so on. And I know I've been talking to some of you, but I think we did several of these in the last couple months, but we don't need any at this time. Is that correct, JJ? We don't need anything for Pima Prosper, so we're fine right now?
Yeah, I think for Pima Prosper, I think we're fine right now.
Okay, and then outreach and training, we added Commissioner Miner last time, I believe. So that was good. And,
yes.
And then I wanted to ask Commissioner Grady, I know that Commissioner Rigoli joined, she was put on HLS some time ago. Is she not getting invited to the meetings? I've noticed that she's been noted as absent on those. Julie, are you trying to attend those meetings or what's happening?
Yeah.
Julie attended.
The first one. Oh, go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, so she attended. There was a conflict with the very first meeting. The second meeting she attended in person. And the third meeting had a conflict. So, but she is attending and I think receiving invitations, correct?
Oh, perfect. Okay. I just wanted to be sure because she had reached out to me. It wasn't one of my usual leaning on someone to make them join something. So thank you. Thank you both. So we have nothing then on item 7. No action. Okay. Item 8 is 8A is, well, first of all, 8 is reports from City of Tucson, Pima County, and City of South Tucson staff. 8A is City of Tucson Historic Preservation Office, and I've got Corin, Dan, and Desiree listed. So who would like to begin?
I'm going to let Desiree kind of take this one.
Perfect.
Great. Thanks, Dan. And thank you, Madam Chair and members of the Commission. My name is Desiree Aranda. I'm the Historic Preservation Officer for the City of Tucson. It's great to meet all of you. I know I've met some of you, but it's great to be here. This is my first full Commission meeting, and I really look forward to working with all of you. Some updates, recent updates, wanted to share. We had some inquiries about a couple demolitions on the Sunshine Mile corridor. A demolition permit for 3 contributing buildings to the National Register Sunshine Mile Historic District was issued on May 2nd for the address at 2102 East Broadway Boulevard. On May 1st, the department was notified by a community member that demolition had proceeded, possibly without a permit. Staff confirmed that the permit, in fact, had not been issued at that time. We reached out to the project sponsor to halt demolition. The project sponsor did have their approvals, but didn't have the actual permit. So there were a few items that they needed to complete to get their permit, which they did the following day. There was a question about architectural documentation, too, so I wanted to address that here. The project sponsor did complete the required architectural documentation for those 3 contributing buildings, and we will be providing those to PRS as requested. They're meeting tomorrow. A bit of background on those contributing properties to the National Register District. They were not in an HPZ or in an HL. And in addition, the developer chose not to opt into an optional Sunshine Mile Urban Overlay District. So those buildings did not have any protections other than the requirement for documentation prior to demolition. So I wanted to provide that update.
Okay, Desiree, I think Ken, Commissioner Scoville has a question on that. Go ahead, Ken. Ken? You're on mute.
I'm an old person, so I got unmuted. Welcome to Tucson, and at your convenience, I'd be happy to walk you around downtown. Any questions you would have?
That'd be great.
I'm assuming this is the Trader Joe's property that they're going to go ahead with the Trader Joe's. Our warm, friendly Trader, hometown Trader Joe's would tear down 3 square. I think the media needs to be. I'm going to do a press release for the media on that. All right. Thanks very much. Talk to you later.
And then we had Commissioner Christopher.
Yeah, I had a question for either Dan or Desiree. I know there are some specific provisions in the UDC under Section 5 for penalties for unauthorized demolitions that really only apply to Rio Nuevo and HPZs. Are there other just broader penalties for work without permits? I would assume that there are, and if so, were any applied in this case since the majority of demolition took place without an active permit?
Yeah, so Andrew, in general, what we end up doing is we will reach out to them, we'll put a stop work order on things, and then try to get them in compliance before we go to any of those kind of like financial penalties or anything of that sort. And so in this case, none of those are really applied. We basically reached out to them, said, we're missing this, it hasn't been issued, we know you're doing this work, please stop your work until the permit's issued. If they would have continued doing the demolition without a permit, that's when we would have gone to those kind of further steps in this case.
Okay. And then one more question just related to process on this. I'm familiar with the demolition permitting process, but some of that outstanding documentation that was preventing the issuance of the permit was the NESHAP, which is the asbestos permit, pretty serious. And there's also the notification affidavit. I did look at the notification affidavit, and they stated that it was posted sometime in March and that it was posted on the buildings. And I'm wondering what kind of review does the city do for those affidavits to ensure that they're accurate, and how do we do that in an instance where that document isn't received until the building where those notices are posted have been torn down?
Yeah, I mean, I think, Andrew, it really should have been part of the review. I think it was actually probably missed within that review, and something that we'll have to make sure that moving forward that our reviewers are catching those as it comes through. I can get back to you with more detailed kind of overview of how we review those affidavits to ensure the compliance. But I'm thinking that's what happened here Actually, it wasn't that. No, never mind. I'm sorry. It was just the fact that we put those conditions on there. They did the work without actually getting it issued. So I apologize. It wasn't actually something we missed. It was something they missed.
Okay. And then we're
happy to get back to you with like a more detailed understanding of kind of how we review those affidavits.
That'd be great. And I think as a process issue, maybe within TDC, typically like not all of the project documents are available to view. And I think one that would be really great if we could, was publicly viewable would be the documentation that was submitted, just so we can get a sense for how complete that is and, what structures are being torn down.
That's a great recommendation. Thank you.
We've got three more questions, and I would just ask you to be brief, and we'll start with Carlos.
Yeah, thanks. So I don't know enough about Rio Nuevo, and is it crazy to imagine that Rio Nuevo could only subsidize projects that opted into the overlay? And does Rio Nuevo come up for any sort of a periodic review when a suggestion like that could be made?
I think that would have to be a decision made by Rio Nuevo and their board on how that would be. It would be a policy related to how they operate. They do have board meetings that I believe have the ability to provide input. So that would be something that I think a venue to where you could, or the public could suggest that, or the commission could as well.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, we were looking for this item, this Trader Joe's item, to come up on the agenda, and it hasn't been on the agenda for several years. And so we had opened a dialogue with Fletcher McCusker, and that was unfruitful, but that's what I was saying. We were waiting for to see that item discussed again, and it hasn't been discussed publicly for years now. So thanks.
Thanks, Carlos. Ken?
Daniel, I'd like to give you as a reference person for this, for the reporter that I'm going to contact about this. Are you all right with that?
Sure. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Probably be a couple of days, the nature of telling them versus a reporter, but I think this deserves to be in the paper. And any issues about how they handled the demolition permit. And I think, Carlos, we might even throw in how Rio Nuevo maybe backed away a little bit from this, or let the reporter take it as far as they'd like, because it's certainly a story that the people in Tucson should know about. Thanks.
And Carlos, we did do a letter, an official letter, some months ago on this, right? Some time ago, and if that's relevant, be sure that Ken has a copy of that. It was sent out to all commissioners, but it was on Sunshine Mile, but I can't remember if it was another building or what it was.
Yeah, that was it. And yeah, we remember you went back and forth with Fletcher a couple times because they hadn't disclosed the name of the grocer. So we were sort of waiting for it to become public before we discussed it again. And it never became public. It just went straight to demolition.
Julie?
Yes, I'd like to piggyback on Andrew Christopher's request to Daniel about the process of the paperwork that you referred to. And I heard Daniel say, yes, he would advance it to him. But I don't know if it was to Andrew or to all of us. And if not, I would request that it would be to all of us. And I'd like to back up the requests or the concerns that Ken and Carlos also bring up.
I'll just clarify, yes, it was intended to be for the entire group, so we'll make sure we get that documentation to everyone.
And well, we might have a little item on the agenda next month, Andrew or Carlos, if you could remind me, just so that we can, if we have more questions. And I wanted to commend Commissioner Christopher for watching this process carefully, taking photographs, sending them to Dan and Desiree and me. That was very helpful, and thank you. Okay, let's let you continue with your report. Were you done, Julie? Yeah, sorry, your hand was still up. Thank you. Sorry. Okay, Desiree, go ahead and continue. I'm sorry, but that was a hot item.
So next on my list, a quick update on some city projects in our Section 106 reviews. Our Housing and Community Development Department is currently conducting Section 106 consultation for their Dunbar Pavilions Rehab Project and the Esker Park Dog Parks Bridge and Park Improvement Projects. That consultation is ongoing. Consultation for the Lariat Village Affordable Housing Development recently concluded, and we received concurrence for a finding of no adverse effects from SHPO, the Tohono O'odham Nation, and the Gila River Indian Community. There are also some parks and recreation projects. The one I wanted to mention, our Historic Landscape Subcommittee might have some updates. I'll just mention briefly that they recently heard a presentation from Parks and Rec on planned park improvements for Santa Rita Park. The department had received correspondence from the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation about that project, and they requested consideration of the potential significance of the swimming pool and pool house on the park, and they also requested that the Historic Landscape Subcommittee and PRS review the overall park plans. So that went to the Landscape Committee, and it will go to PRS tomorrow. On that note, a list of parks that the Historic Landscape Subcommittee considers priority projects or priority parks and or historic or potentially significant parks was shared with me and our Parks and Recreation Program Manager. So moving forward, we're hoping that we will commit to bringing those projects to the Historic Landscape Subcommittee and PRS much earlier in the process. The next item, briefly, I was going to mention the Preserve Baby Conference as well. Registration is still open up until the day of the conference if anyone is interested. As Chair Majewski mentioned, there are still scholarships available to attend the pre-conference CLG workshop on May 14th as well as the conference itself. Staff is currently looking to hire an HP lead planner, so that would be a second HP lead planner for our team. The opening closed on May 4th, and we're currently going through that recruitment process, which we're very excited about. There's another position that will be opening soon, and I hope to have more information to share with you during our next meeting. That will be a cultural resources compliance project manager. As far as some process improvements and education, we are currently working on a few handouts as well as a video that will be posted on our website to assist applicants with the historic review process. We're also working with HCD, SHPO, and ACHP to update our programmatic agreement, which would be shared with consulting parties once we have a draft available. And lastly, a public hearing is scheduled for Mayor and Council on May 20th at 5:30 p.m. for our Plan Tucson update. And I did have a chance to sit on the Plan Tucson HP Working Group meeting last week. There were some additional revisions requested. And one thing just wanted to mention, because the plan has already been published, if there are changes requested, those will need to be requested at the Mayor and Council meeting, and Mayor and Council will need to direct staff to make any additional changes. But that concludes my updates. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken.
Terry, would it be appropriate for me to ask about the Atkins property or wait until the later part of the agenda with city-owned properties?
Well, you should wait. And I think one thing I wanted to mention to Desiree and Dan, we have several different items that relate to both city and county, update on programs and processes and so on. Maybe for the next agenda, we could either break out comments to fit in those items or somehow combine them on the agenda, because it's a lot. But it's good discussion. Anyway, thank you. Okay, any other questions for Desiree? Thank you for that great report, by the way. And thanks for, you know, attending various meetings and learning about all the crazy things we're up to, which are a lot. Crazy and good one. Okay, item 8B is Pima County Conservation Lands and Resources, Cultural Resources and Heritage Preservation. Ian, are you on, or is Courtney reporting today?
I'm here.
Oh, great. I didn't see you. I do now.
A couple of quick updates on kind of a handful of projects. So Eric Marcus Airport out in Ajo, that is slated to have some FAA investment in a new lighting system. It originally was going to be funded with an ADOT grant through FHWA. Before all of this, in anticipation of this, we commissioned a survey of the airport and documentation. And Desert Archaeology did that work in about 2021, which confirmed, which we knew, and documented what is known as the Ajo Army Airfield Historic District, which has been determined eligible for listing on the National Register. So we have been carefully designing all of the lighting work and electrical vaults and everything to result in no adverse effect determination. So finally, we are kind of on the 99-yard line of that project and looking forward to promoting that, especially with the Ajo residents. Many people always forget about Ajo, but it is not an incorporated entity. And so we've been working with District 5 to really get some more information out on Ajo. You may have heard that the Board of Supervisors recently approved the acquisition of a long time desired property, the Kelly Ranch, which is a 109-acre property right outside of Catalina State Park. We are thrilled. That was identified during the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan. It was a very long history of trying to acquire that, and finally, through a lot of good work by the Valley and in partnership with Pima County acquired that 109 acres. It's extraordinarily important for wildlife connectivity. It's got a true depth of ancestry. It is kind of adjacent across the wash from where the Sutherland Wash Rock Art District begins, which is listed on the National. And it also has a 40s era Jostler built house. Very cool is the timing, because as soon as we acquired the property, we worked with Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation to feature the property on this Saturday's ranch tour. So I've been coordinating with Demian, and we're having the house cleaned and staged on Friday, and it's going to be really, really cool. Henry Green's coming out and going to be taking some photographs, and I'm following up with him next week for an article that will come out in about a week or two on that property. So look forward to that. On the Section 106 front, I'm going to the middle mile broadband infrastructure project that the county is managing. That one, we have continued consultation on an invitation to participate in the development of a programmatic agreement. There are roughly 4 federal agencies, I think 6 state agencies, 13 tribal governments, and 5 municipalities that have been invited to participate in that. So that work will continue through this summer, hopefully executing a programmatic agreement in early fall. And then lastly, a bit of kind of raise the alarm bells to you. For those of you who went through the Trump administration's budget on Friday like I did, one of the significant pieces that I don't think is probably going to get enough publicity is the $158 million cut to the Historic Preservation Fund. Why that is important is not because of the loss in grants, while that is a huge loss. It is because that money funds all state historic preservation offices across the country, as well as tribal historic preservation offices. And particularly for Arizona, the State Historic Preservation Office in Arizona is almost entirely funded by federal funds. It is a 60-40 match. However, the Arizona legislature has basically found every loophole it can to provide that match via volunteer hours and other things. So I alerted my administration that would have severe repercussions for a variety of all infrastructure projects, but in Pima County particularly, this broadband infrastructure project, as well as a RAISE grant that we have for Valencia Road. And so we will be monitoring this very closely. We're working with our lobbyists, and obviously I've reached out to Senator Kelly and Senator Gallego, as well as Representative Sistemani, but you can imagine the onslaught of cuts that Historic Preservation Fund might not be the priority, but it cannot go away because that is basically Project 25 in the bucket trying to push it to the state. But this is a federal law, federal compliance. We cannot execute a PA. You cannot engage in Section 106 without a state historic preservation office, nor without a tribal historic preservation office. So keep it on the radar. I will be glad to provide updates as we move forward, but that is definitely something we'll be watching.
I just wanted to mention that before I call on others, that I know a lot of the organizations that are preservation-oriented or archaeology or cultural resource management organizations are their ear to the ground is on this. They're lobbying, and I think we need to look to those organizations to provide you with text for that, for writing, contacting your congressperson, because Congress approves the budget, correct? So, Yeah, and the thing is, I heard from a SHPO representative on another meeting yesterday, and this is a wish list for the administration. There are a lot of things, and I think that it's really important that we watch it. So thank you for that. Ken?
Yes, I was aware of all this and all this going on. If SHPO closed, would the historic designation still be all right for the neighborhoods, or do you need a person to SHPO to reinforce or something with the actual listings?
So the every property that is listed or every property that's designated a National Historic Landmark would remain.
Okay.
What would jeopardize is the tax credit program, because that's administered by SHPO.
That might trigger other people.
Yeah. As well as any future nominations to the register or designations. But while all of that is important, what it does is it shuts down the ability to participate in to meet federal law in any federal undertaking.
In compliance. Yeah.
Yeah, for compliance.
And that people may get bigger and think that people may decide, well, I don't get the tax credits, I'm not going to put you on the National Register. Then you lose the number of buildings, and then you got other cascading events.
So we have to watch that. So, Helen? You're on mute.
Yeah. So, my question here is this a situation where the commission should be contacting people to say we are concerned about its implications in terms of data?
I didn't catch all of that because my bandwidth is weird, but I think, as I always recommend in these kind of matters, we need to stay up on top of them, but we should be contacting our people individually. But to do that, we need the facts. So I think this is early on in the game. And, Helen, I know that you belong to different organizations. There's going to be a lot out there about this. You know, we should look to, the Arizona Preservation Foundation. They often come out with really good things for what we can send to our representatives. So let's watch this. If anyone sees anything that's a really good summary, if you do, send that to me, we can send it around that people can take their own position on it, because I think we're more effective actually as individuals. There's more of us. We cover more of the districts. And unless, Ian, you and Desiree think that we should be, taking a stand, I'm not sure that.
Sorry, Des, I'm not going to speak for you, but I will say at this point, what I've advised Administrator Lesher and what I'm advising the board on is that we need to approach the governor's office that there is a firm commitment that should federal funding be jeopardized, that the state will provide emergency funding to continue SHPO while this, draws out in court or whatever it's going to do. So right now, all we're looking for is Arizona State Parks and the governor's office to acknowledge the threat and say that they stand ready to fill in and provide emergency funding to continue and maintain SHPO should the federal funding be jeopardized.
Right, and if there's a need for us to write a letter on that, we can talk about it at our next meeting, to support them in that. And thank you very much. Yep. It's a huge concern.
Sam, ready? But of course, if there's any information, I'll provide it. And then if I can provide that, and you guys can decide to send a letter and maybe piggyback on mayor and council or county administration.
Yeah, if we get more people involved in, what the ramifications of this are for the whole system and trickle down. So sure. Any other?
Sorry, I'm still
ahead.
I just wanted to say, is this a case where something might happen in 2 weeks and we should only write a letter or what?
No, SHPO is fully funded through July, the end of July right now. It's a little wonky with the continuing resolution, so we continue to monitor this. But as it moves through, I think Representative Collins, or no, I think it's, yeah, Susan Collins basically said it's a non-starter right now, and so I don't think that this is going to move quickly. But knowing that SHPO's funding terminates as of right now at the end of July, by the beginning of June, we're going to have to, at least get our letter out, just so that we get out in time.
Well, what we could do is do a motion now to write a letter when the appropriate time is here, and then if it happens before our June meeting, if something comes up, then it's taken care of. Does that make sense?
Does someone want to make
a motion to that effect? I'm sorry, I'm getting really, really bad feedback from people.
This is Blake. I will make a motion to start a letter.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and...
Helen will second.
Okay. Hold on just a second. Okay, is there discussion? My discussion is, Helen and Blake, will you work on drafting that with me?
Sure, and I would be happy to.
I can run it by Ian and Desiree for ideas. I can also see what my organizations are saying or whatever, so that would be good. Okay.
And Ian and Desiree, if you could share your concerns with us as well, mm-hmm. that would make it a lot easier.
Yeah, you could, directly with me, Helen, and Blake, that would be great.
Yeah, at this point, I haven't written anything, but I'm happy to write something. I've just been having conversations with the county administration and the board on it.
Well, let's wait and see what we hear at the preservation conference, too, because we may hear some good info on it. And we can talk about it more, but we can get a letter out fairly quickly if we need to. So we have a motion on the table. It's been moved and seconded that we draft a letter and have it or be in readiness to send it when needed. And could we go ahead and call roll, please?
Yes, of course. Allison Doggy?
Aye.
Andrew Christopher?
Aye.
Blake Houghton?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Aye.
Gary Miner?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
J.J. Lamb?
Aye.
Julie Rigoli?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Yes.
Kathy Kubish?
Aye.
Mauro Trejo?
Aye.
Peter Steer?
Savannah McDonald? Is Peter still here? Is he off?
Okay. I think I heard him. Aye. Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Stephen Grady?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Haggard?
Aye.
All right. Motion passes 17-0.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, I don't know if we said so, but it's not just the SHPO offices, it's the TIPO offices as well, which is a huge problem for them, too. Peter, has your office heard anything? He must be. I can check in with him later. Okay, thank you for that. And item 8C in the City of South Tucson, is Joshua Delafia here? Okay, no report for that item. 8D, Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility, DTM, is Patrick Hartley here?
Good afternoon, I'm here.
Oh, great, okay.
I don't have any updates specifically at this time. Is there any information you all are looking for?
Carlos, do you have any questions for Patrick?
So where are we at on the First Avenue? I haven't seen any emails on that lately.
Yeah, absolutely. Madam Chair, Carlos, thank you for the question. So we are still in the kind of DCR, the conceptual phase of planning. We are anticipating having an alignment identified by this fall and wrapping up the DCR phase for like a 15-30% project submittal at the end of this calendar year. We're probably still 3 years out from construction start date, but the good news is we are looking at conceptual alignments and the property impacts have been greatly minimized through some introduction of curvature to the roadway as well as a function of us narrowing it from that 6-lane to the 4-lane roadway.
That's great. Thanks a lot.
Great. I wanted to ask, Gary, did you get onto your phone? Are you still on?
Yes,
are things
on
better?
Phone.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I can. Thank you. All right, sorry, I was just checking for text control. Alrighty. Is that all you have then, Patrick?
Yeah, feel free to reach out to me if you have any questions. I will announce that Jorge Castillo is no longer with the city, which you all knew, but we do have a new certification acceptance liaison who has taken over for Jorge. Her name is Taki Rico, and I will be following up with an introduction. She'll be taking tools, providing the updates to the commission.
Okay, if you could just email me and Carlos about that would be very helpful. Ken, do you have
Absolutely.
A question?
Yes, I have a question for Patrick. Hi, Patrick. I'm super interested. I live close and I've gone down First Avenue. The arroyo that's just south of the Boondocks, how is that going to be dealt with?
Great question. So that is one of our great design challenges on the corridor, the Navajo Wash Crossing. So we currently have that dip crossing. We are evaluating the drainage challenges of the corridor as we speak, and that will be part of the DCR phase. Given the flows that are coming across the Navajo, we are not anticipating that we're going to be able to contain the 100-year flood event kind of within storm drain infrastructure, but we are looking to be able to capture kind of the highest flow that we can within the space that's available, so we're evaluating that right now. Probably have some drainage infrastructure, and most of that nuisance flooding will be addressed with the project.
A couple suggestions, and I don't think you've done any historic inventory yet, but the Boondocks, the building would certainly qualify as an historic property with the burnt adobe construction and the cultural heritage of a watering hole and all those other things. There is a little parcel of land. It would be nice to do some kind of park because, from what I understand, the developer that's going to build apartments just to the west of the Walmart grocery, neighborhood grocery, retaining those two buildings from the shopping center, the Amphi Plaza. It would be nice to work some kind of park, open space that could also be a buffer and riprap the banker building up. I think there's a real lot of interesting opportunities to tie in the historic building with a little park, open space, pocket park, something there, and I'd certainly like to be involved with this.
Yeah, that's a great comment. So we're evaluating how we can accommodate the drainage needs and the challenges in that particular location. So depending on what we have to do to accommodate those flows, we'll see what we have across like a revenue parcel.
I mean, that's obviously an area that gets dominated by homeless. Like one of the strategies, if you made it a little bit more park where other people might be encouraged, especially the apartments that would be going in, that could be a nice little over, and maybe a little bridge that would cross over between one side of the Navajo Wash to the other. I think you could make it sort of an interesting feature with the historic building and all of that. And the Boondocks might sort of be thrilled to participate, too. It would be good for highlighting their historic building.
Great comment. I will let you know that we do have a project website that is up and available, the First Avenue Modernization Project. There is a kind of interactive map with a drop a point and provide comments. That would be a great place to add that comments as well to the project team.
I was just going to say, if you could CC me things on things that are going forward with that, I would certainly appreciate it.
Absolutely. And we are planning to do our second round of public outreach in the fall as we kind of button up this first submittal, this 30% design phase. So I'll make sure that you all are on the distribution list for any of those public meetings.
Because I think
that commentary.
It's my first time, but I certainly want to see something interesting and well done there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Good. Thank you, Patrick. All right, let's move on to item 9 then. TPCHC subcommittee, other committee, and council and commission status reports. 9A is plans review subcommittee. Michael Tackle, would you like to report? You're on mute, Michael.
Yes, Madam Chair. I'll report on the plans review subcommittee for tomorrow. They have 4 items coming on the agenda. The first item will be the Children's Museum. That used to be the former UDOR Foundation building. They're proposing to renovate the building so that they can add offices and more children activities. they went to the design review board on May 2nd. The design review board reviewed their proposal and recommended approval. So they will be before PRS tomorrow. The second project will be the Congress apartment, which is located near Congress and Bonita. There used to be an old auto shop and some sheds and a house over there, which is going to be demolished. And a four-story apartment is coming up. It is in the Menlo Park National District. The only concern here is because they are kind of, they're very close to a one-story residential properties, but they will be discussing that with PRS tomorrow. The third project that we have will be the Santa Rita Park, which Desiree has sufficiently talked about that to you today, so I don't need to waste any time on that. And the fourth project before PRS tomorrow will be the continued review of the Fort Lauderdale Historic Zone Design Guidelines Revision. That review intends to probably close out that review tomorrow. So those are the four projects that I have to report to the Commission today. I'll be happy to answer any question.
Any quick questions for Michael? Okay, thanks for that update.
Thank you, Chair.
Sure. 9B is Downtown Neighborhoods and Residents Council. Commissioner Hagler.
We did not meet this month. We'll be meeting again in June, so I don't have anything to report.
Okay, so no meeting in May. No report. Thank you. Okay. 9C is Historic Landscape Subcommittee. Commissioner Grady.
Thank you. The Historic Landscape Subcommittee met on April 24th and again on May 1st. On April 24th, we discussed historic landscapes definition and review criteria drawing from the National Park Service definition of landscape, California Department of Transportation, general guidelines for identifying and evaluating historic landscapes, and our own historic landscape guidelines and modifications to a designed historic landscape that we, the Historic Landscape Subcommittee, produced in 2016. And a discussion was held and a working definition of a historic landscape was developed. A historic landscape is a geographic area revealing a pattern that has evolved over time through natural or human agency associated with a historic activity, event, or person. So it's very closely related to the National Park Service definition and the others we spoke of. On May 1st, we had a discussion and commented on Santa Rita Park revitalization and specifically the historic pool house pools and surrounding landscape.
Thank you, Steve. I just wanted to mention that at I just heard a recent paper at a conference by Mary Ellen Walsh from the Schiphol office in Arizona. They're working on policy to change, to look more at doing landscape analyses of, let's say, archaeological sites or features that are found on the landscape when doing surveys. And I think, you know, they're still working on developing this, but I think she'll be giving maybe a talk on it at the preservation conference. But I know there's a tribal listening session maybe all day on next Wednesday. And I think this is a really important topic that, you know, at some point I think we should have a report on it. And Ian, with all the sites you have to manage, you've probably heard about some of this as well. So, but that would be, it's a useful perspective because we look at it now for, let's say, parks and neighborhoods and so on, but I think we need to think of it in a bigger way than just, yeah. So, but anyway, thank you for that. But you guys are leaders in our landscape thinking, so thank you. Okay, item 9D is Transportation Subcommittee. Commissioner Lozano.
Thanks. I'll be brief. We're kind of just in a waiting period on a couple of things. So the TEP, we still don't know when they're going to go to mayor and council, so but we don't have to worry about that until after the preservation conference. Same thing with the ADOT comment letter that we're sending that's after Reserve Arizona. And if we decide to follow up on the Rio Nuevo bad decision that they made, then we can do that after the conference. And that's all I have.
Great, thank you. Any comments, questions for Carlos? No? Okay. Item 9E is Commission on Equitable Housing and Development. Commissioner McDonald.
Thanks. Yeah, the commission met May 1st. Productive meeting. They had recently had a retreat, so they kind of summarized that in their three working groups, which included housing options, prevention, and services. The majority of the meeting was presentations by TPCH, which is the Tucson Pima Collaboration to End Homelessness, not to be confused with TPCHC, but just an update on that organization's five-year strategic plan process. And then Pima County Housing went over some of their funding plan updates, and an interesting part of that was the proposal by Pima County Supervisor Hines for a 3 cents property tax increase in terms of like a policy for to funding affordable housing. And David Higura went over that and what that means and really the ins and outs and details of Supervisor Hines' proposal. And then a few updates for the Housing Trust Fund, but I think that'll be more at the next meeting. So.
Great, thank you. Any questions for Commissioner McDonald? Thanks for attending this meeting.
I had one question related to housing. Commissioner Scoville asked about a historic motel in the Miracle Mile Historic District that is abandoned and is being it's all tagged up. It's the La Hacienda. And I was just wondering, is the city still acquiring these motels to provide low-income housing? Is that a thing still?
Oh, for good. Well, I mean, hopefully the city can answer that one. I know it was initiative for a while. I think HCD does have that in mind. We're obviously doing the Amazon one right now, but I don't know about the Hacienda.
I'm afraid of the La Hacienda. It looks like somebody is going to torch it. I mean, it just looks awful, and we would lose it, you know.
Yeah, Commissioner Lozado, just to kind of follow up on that, yeah, I think it's true. We have done that with, obviously, the Amazon Flats or Amazon Motel, as well as the Notel Motel. I'm not entirely sure about the ownership of that one, but it's something that I can follow up with Housing and Community Development on and kind of just to talk to them about.
That would be great. Pam, did you have a quick question, please?
Yes, I got too much baggage on this issue. The previous historic preservation officer, I asked her multiple times, and she sort of did a little bit of stonewalling. She says, well, they won't contact us or we won't contact them or whatever. I've got to believe the city or the county can say, we need to talk to you. Please communicate. And see, and maybe Desiree can get involved with this one too. So because there's actually three different sections. There's an older one. It's a really nice evolution of the motor lodge. It's very significant, especially from that evolution. And then on top of it, we lost the three on Drachman. So the signs that I talked announcing the Miracle Mile Historic District, everybody's going to say, where are the motor lodges? We got a new fast chicken place, but we don't seem to have any historic buildings left. So enough said.
Great, thank you. Okay, let's move on into my item 9B, which is the budget subcommittee. I'm very pleased to say that after not having a meeting for months due to my inability to sort this budget information out, we will be meeting tomorrow, and it's exciting because we'll be voting on some critical funding issues that have to do with Tucson's the 250 plus celebration in August, with the outreach and training subcommittee activities, with archiving of commission materials and the preservation awards. And I'm not going to say more than that because we're tight on time, but Ken, did you have a question?
Yes, just real quick one. I know that Carlotta Flores wants to be involved, and I've sort of been her liaison. Not that she doesn't have enough things going on in her life anyway with all the rest. So I'm hoping to hear back with her pretty soon. So I'd like to be involved a little bit more with this planning committee because I know Carlotta is very concerned because maybe 30 years ago we tried to reinvigorate doing some events, and we did things back in, 97, 98, 99. So, but for 250, really want to get us involved. And I dearly want to see us do a poster. I'm almost to contact the Arizona Daily Star because they did one for 2025. So I'm just got several projects that if I could just get the go-ahead, I'll be happy to champion them along with Carlotta.
Well, I know that that Amy at the Presidio, who is overseeing the event with some other people involved, has is reaching out to the local restaurants. And so I can ask her.
And I've tried to contact her several times and left her messages also. So maybe you could give her another encouragement that we really need to talk.
Okay.
I see Amy fairly frequently. I can probably get an answer out of her.
Yeah, if she could just give me a call and tell her I know Carlotta wants to do some things and all of that. We just need to just connect forces together.
I'll ask her to reach out.
I don't think I'm going to be here for the 300, so I'd like to participate a little bit.
Right, and then I believe that last time I did mention a poster, and you want it now. Just email me offline about what you'd like to do, because we're going to be having a meeting, I think, week after next after the conference.
Okay, I think a poster with the different murals downtown would be a wonderful way to look at history and what's the hot thing for downtown at 250 with all the murals from the Presidio Museum, the Train Museum, the nice one for the 100th anniversary of the rodeo, some significant things like that. So I'll send you an email.
Yeah, and that's something we can talk about funding and figuring out. So, okay, or if someone else wants to contribute to that. So, all right, thank you.
Sure.
Okay, item 9G is Outreach and Training Subcommittee, Commissioner Lamb.
Okay, so the Outreach and Training Subcommittee has been in a bit of a holding pattern as we wait for the budget approval. That being said, we're very excited about the upcoming budget meeting, and I plan for that subcommittee, subcommittee to meet in June.
Sounds good, thank you. Okay, item 9H is Event Subcommittee. I alluded to this a little bit. We're still having every week we're meeting for a while now. We're meeting every couple weeks for the 250th, but it's going to be a big deal with the Tucson Museum of Art now anchoring that corner of the street. Things are moving out into the street with a lot of community partner tables. The county has really stepped up, and they are helping a lot with this and has committed additional funding for the commission starting the next fiscal year to pass on to help with the event, because they'll have two active stages. All sorts of dignitaries are being invited and wanting to be there. It's going to be really something. So we'll keep you posted, and I hope you're all going to be here for the event, which I believe is being held on the weekend, not the actual day. But then the opening of the time capsule will be on the actual birthday. And Mauro and Ken, I need to get with you because I need you to help me with this because I don't have the bandwidth. So that's something I really need you to focus on, Ken, because you'll make sure you model it's done correctly. You know, that we have something to add to it to find out more about it. So I'll be in touch with you about that. Okay, let's see where we are. Okay, let's see. Also, 9I is Preservation Awards Subcommittee. I mentioned that we're going to go ahead and have that in the fall. And Ian, is it still an offer for us to consider doing it at the courthouse?
I'm there, sorry. I just need to get a date so I can, or at least a date or two so I can check the calendar, but yes.
Okay, well, let's do this. Let's try and meet sometime. I mean, how soon do you need the date?
Oh, I mean, as long as you can give me a couple months' notice, just fall gets busy, and I know that the courthouse is a hot commodity, so I just would rather get on the calendar sooner or later so that, you know, I can even put a hold on it if you give me a date and it's available.
Yeah, what I could do is possibly just email my subcommittee members and say, do you have any thoughts on the date? And we can, because I know that Ken is on that subcommittee, and so is Kathy, so it, and I know Kathy's going to be out for a little bit, and so anyway, we'll get something to you, but can it wait until June, possibly?
Yeah, that's fine. It's just we need to be a little bit flexible. If, you know, it's already committed, can you do it the next weekend, or can you do it on Friday instead of Saturday, more, you know, kind of a thing?
Yeah, I think we can do that. I think, Ken?
I was just going to add, I don't know if we can use the Dillinger courtroom for the event, but we could use that space, because that's a neat historic space. But that would be
I can't commit to that, but it's actually a pretty small space if you pack people in there. One of the conference rooms may be better, but we can always look at Dillinger courtroom for, but we could, it's open to the public, but for something like this, we could easily make an exception.
And then we could just have the Dillinger courtroom being a staging for beverages or some snacks so people could see it. I think I've seen it about that. That's a different place. But we're just trying to figure out how that might be another, or another historic place within it, but I think the courthouse is a really
Again, I'm going to have to interrupt you because this is something we should discuss on the subcommittee and invite Ian to join us because I know you have to leave at 1:15 and we just have a lot of agenda items and you've got two items coming up right now. I moved them up so that you would have a chance to deal with them. And Kathy, let's just figure out a date that we can meet as the event subcommittee. Okay, so we can maybe come up with a date for that.
That's fine.
All right. Item 10 then is update on Pima Community College owned historic motel on Brockman. Commissioners Lozano, Scoville, what do you want to say about this?
Okay, well, rest in peace. All three buildings have been savagely torn down. And a prime example of not saving anything. We talk about deconstruction and all these things going on today. They're trying to, you know, make something useful out of a sad situation. But the college really took an urban renewal approach to this. They just wanted to punish everybody involved. And I'm going to try and get a guest editorial in the newspaper over this. That this was just essentially, we don't like the neighborhood we're in, and we want to destroy anything related to the culture related to what the neighborhood of great significance. So that's just a really terrible situation that I'm working on. As far as my other concern is the Atkins property.
Wait. This is item 11. Wait.
I know I was going to spin into item 11, but you can announce item 11.
I have to, for the record, Ken. So you want me to keep item 10 on the agenda?
I'd like to go one more time.
Okay.
Until we find out about the signs.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay. Issue. That's good. All right. Okay, item 11 is monitoring and preserving historic buildings and landscapes owned by the City of Tucson. Ken, please report.
Okay, the big controversy for me, and I think for a lot of people, is the Atkins property. And if Desiree's still on, I think she is, so maybe she had to take off. I don't see.
I'm here.
We need to get something going with the Atkins property. I'm meeting with the county administrator later this month, and we're going to talk about this, among other things. And last time when Corn was on, she would not even utter a word when I asked about what's the situation with the Atkins property. And I've been trying to get into the city manager's office, and Tim Tamura, I've met with him over the years on different things. And he's been very cordial. I don't know why that's gotten hard. But we need to find out why the city is doing demolition by neglect on the Atkins property. I know money's gotten tight, but a year and a half ago, I was telling the previous historic preservation officer, we need to get a roof on it just to try. And this was before one of the corners collapsed and stabilized. I walk by it every time I do a tour and just want to find out what the skinny, the dirt is on why does the city want the Atkins property down. So that's my other big concern of what's going on.
Thank you. And I will need to get kind of up to date and briefed on that issue, but we'll try to have some more information the next
week. I would appreciate it. Feel free to communicate with me and send me an email and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen and Desiree. Okay, we have a presentation, item 12, Major Streets and Routes, MF&R. Amendment website is below. Oh, sorry. Patrick Hartley is going to talk to us about this amendment. Carlos arranged for this presentation. There was a link in your agenda to look at things if you wish, and if you want to go ahead, Patrick, and present, you can share the screen.
Okay, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, thank you very much for the opportunity to present and talk about the Major Streets and Routes Plan update. I've got a brief presentation. I recognize the agenda is a little tight, so I will look to move through this fairly quickly. Is that showing up appropriately on the screen?
It is.
Excellent. All right, well, again, thank you very much, and thank you, Carlos, Commissioner Lozano, for inviting me. So for those of you who aren't familiar, the Major Streets and Routes Plan is something we've had on the books since 1982 in the City of Tucson, and the intent of this document is really to establish future rights of way and identify the street classification within Tucson's transportation network. And ultimately, it shows the future rights of way that we're anticipating for ultimate build-out of our road network, largely driven by expectation of increasing traffic and the increasing need for vehicular capacity on our roadways. That was kind of the guiding philosophy in 1982 when this document was created. Most of you might have interacted with this through the Major Streets and Routes map, which shows the functional classification of the roadway. When we say arterial and collector in transportation, we're pulling it from this document. Arterials being your major roads like Speedway or Grant, and arterial collectors being kind of smaller scale street like Bilby or Glen.
It also identifies a value for each of those segments of our transportation network that anticipates what our future right-of-way need will be. And those will typically be a value like 120 feet, 100 feet, 76 feet, which is indicating how much space we need to make our transportation improvements in the future. That is typically applied to private development. It's mostly a land use control more than a transportation plan, although it's one of those places where the two are talking to each other. So the major streets and routes has been applied basically when there is development or redevelopment along major corridors in the city. That is the construction of new structures, changes of use, including restructures on vacant parcels, and expansions in floor area as defined in the Unified Development Code. And essentially what the MSNR does is requires additional setback of private development and a dedication of property to the city so in the future we can accommodate the roadway capacity that we are anticipating. We have been directed to the Department of Transportation to now execute an update to the major streets and routes plan. It's not like this has been a static document since 1982. It has, in fact, been updated or amended over 30 times in that period, and it's most of those updates have been specific to single corridors or single projects or single requests. We are now engaged in a full-scale review and update of the MSNR because our guiding philosophy in the Department of Transportation and Mobility and across the city has really evolved. And while that 1982 document was based largely on the need for additional roadway capacity, we are now working under that umbrella of the City of Tucson's Complete Streets policy. So we are trying to align our future rights-of-way needs with the policy goals of Complete Streets, such as greater comfort and accessibility for more vulnerable roadway users, kind of accepting that there might be a trade-off of some additional congestion to meet some of our safety goals in the city. And so we are trying to align our roadways with that philosophy and also reflect some of the recent transportation planning we've been doing, such as under Move Tucson. And what's been really eye-opening with some of those efforts is some of the traffic volume growth and related congestion that was anticipated in 1982 has never really come to fruition. So we're trying to align the capacity needs on a lot of our corridors better with what we're anticipating, what we're seeing for traffic growth, and I wish more accurately state in a lot of cases that's been kind of traffic stability. We haven't seen a lot of traffic growth in the last number of years. So in terms of aligning this update with those policy goals of the city, we have created some interactive maps that show the types of changes we are proposing to our street network. And we've broken this down to a less than or equal to what our right-of-way requirements are currently in the major streets and routes. And with this update, we are going to be reducing the future right-of-way requests that anticipate about 43% of segments across the city. We will be maintaining the existing right-of-way for the MSNR on 31%. And then we're creating this, or expanding this category of basically where we have already built out our roadways, and we will be removing a right-of-way value, which we're calling right-of-way to match existing property lines, which basically gives the property owner, developer the right to develop the totality of their parcels so long as they comply with the underlying land use regulations. We're also removing a few segments from the existing MSNR map. So in execution, this is kind of what that looks like. So our current right-of-way setback on the corner of Drexel and Park Avenue is this area in yellow. And if somebody were to redevelop this purple parcel, the city would require this dedication of everything in this yellow area to accommodate a future roadway binding, essentially. Based on the capacity that, or the lines that we're seeing in the capacity of the roadway, we are no longer anticipating, for example, that either Park nor Drexel would need to be a future roadway widening. So we are reducing that right-of-way, and you can see this then purple area becomes developable or part of the parcel that the development can use to meet their development goals. The intention of this is really to allow for greater opportunities for infill development and also to reduce some of the onerous setback requirements, really in partnership with some of the work that PDSD, the Planning Development Services team, has been doing with reducing our setback requirements to create a more pedestrian-friendly and human-scale urban environment in the major corridors. So in that kind of color, we like to show you these are the totality of the proposed changes on our major streets and routes. You can see these pink areas are where we are reducing from the existing right-of-way. And when I say existing, it is what we are applying to redevelopment, not saying we are reducing from what is currently owned by the city. Yellow are areas where it's equal to, and blue is where we are matching. Talk through a little bit about this. The other part of this is we are looking to reclassify some roadways, add and remove some different things from our major streets and routes plan. So essentially, the reclassification is based on the traffic volumes. So we've got a number of local streets that are actually operating at traffic volumes and are designed to operate like collectors. One that jumps out to us is, for example, Limberlost, which is technically currently designated as a local street. But if any of you have driven, walked, or biked on Limberlost, you know that that is operating like a major roadway in the network. So we are proposing reclassifying it to reflect how it actually operates in reality. We are also proposing a couple of removals of corridors that no longer need to be on the major streets and routes. Many of these are in the nature of some just cleanup, some things out in kind of undeveloped areas of the city, some different segments that are actually they've swapped in property, and a couple of other locations. In terms of where we are with this update, we currently have the online interactive map. We are taking public comments through the month of May. We will be going to, and we have hosted a couple of open houses, one virtual, one in person, to get community input. We've also met with a number of neighbor groups, utilities, and other interested stakeholders to talk through how the specific proposed changes might affect them. And we're taking all the comments to see what changes we want to proceed with and what we may want to revisit at a later date or take off of the proposed changes. We'll be taking the totality of the recommendations to the Planning Commission at the end of May for a study session before it goes in front of them for a public hearing and ultimately a recommendation that they'll be making to Mayor and Council in August of 2025, the current schedule. That said, if we're hearing a lot of feedback from the community, we need to revisit some proposed changes. That can slow down a little bit, but we want to be responsive to Council's direction. For those of you who haven't interacted with it, here's just a quick view of the website. I'll move through this super fast, and basically this is your landing page. The website is an Esri story map, and it's set up to step you through each of those changes I just described. So you can see the totality of the changes, where we're proposing less than the right-of-way, and comparing that to the existing major streets and routes plan. And then we have an interactive kind of drop-in exercise. If people are interested in a very specific segment, they can drop a pin and let us know, hey, we don't want to see a reduction in right-of-way in this area, or we don't want to see this corridor added to the major streets and routes, things of that nature. And with that, I think I can wrap up the presentation and take any questions.
Okay, let's start with Ken. Thank you very much, Patrick.
Absolutely.
Patrick, I guess I want to play a heads up for Stone Avenue, because there's been a historic preservation inventory done by Bob Bitt a long time ago. That's really the last north-south corridor that has a lot of historic resources, and it's been planned, or at least thought of, it would be the next light rail connection that might go there. And so that just needs more planning, more attention. Did you mention that that was going to retain the setbacks, or what's the current status on setbacks for that?
Yeah, so Stone, I believe we were reducing the setbacks, particularly in the area just north of downtown. And I'm going off of memory a little bit here, but I believe south of Speedway, the current MSNR width is 120 feet, which is the width that would be anticipating a six-lane roadway. So that's kind of that legacy of that older thinking of our transportation network. We have revisited that section. I believe we are proposing a zero value on Stone, just north of downtown, because we've got that nice street wall, number of historic buildings, and we are not anticipating widening out that corridor. So that would be one we feel comfortable kind of developing to existing property line. It's largely built out. We've got the comfortable sidewalks, and we can accommodate the future BRT project. So that's all been part of the consideration.
Okay, north of Speedway, obviously you get up the grant and everything, but it's not an issue so much. But those other resources, and especially on both sides, I'm trying to think, it's north of Drachman, but just going through that another quarter, half a mile, there are a lot of resources. What's the status on that? North of Drachman for a quarter, half a mile?
Yeah, and I believe we are reducing the right-of-way or matching the existing on that entire segment, because there's no anticipation that we're going to be widening out Stone, and our expectation is that BRT is going to largely operate within the existing right-of-way that is available.
Will that be another issue with the light rail going through there, or can light rails be there at the existing width, bandwidth?
They can. So we've been talking to the project team for the BRT and making sure what is being proposed is consistent with what their study is showing.
Okay. Because I can just sense there's a lot of nice Adobe buildings, early significant buildings. They're all being fixed up. Somebody's speculating on the land, renting them out to carry the land values. Do you know exactly what zoning is right now on those parcels?
I do not. That might be a question for the folks from Development Services. So I'm looking at it right now, and the proposed right-of-way width north of Speedway that we are showing is 90 feet.
So that's just going to be something that everybody's going to go, oh, we know one earlier about it. So people just need to be thinking about that portion of Stone Avenue, because it's one, the last really north-south corridor that has a lot of historic resources. And scale is always important for the historic landscape, the scale of the road. The minute you start changing the scale and widening, you lose the historic landscape, just like if you go down Fort Lowell Road going to the Fort Lowell Historic Preservation Zone. So these are all considerations, and I'm trying. The meeting's coming up in April. Will those be appropriate for Stone? I'm going to try and reach out and go to one of the public meetings.
So we've already held the public meetings there a couple of weeks ago, but if you want to reach out, we're happy to talk on an individual level. There's a subset of this committee that would like to talk about some of the changes to the proposed MSNR. We can set up a separate meeting to chat in more detail.
Yeah. So, Ken, this should go through the subcommittee instead of you speaking individually on it. And Carlos is chair of the subcommittee. What do you have to say, Carlos?
Well, the reason that we're doing this here and now is I believe that you're making a recommendation to the Planning Commission. Isn't that what we discussed? That's coming up pretty soon, right?
Yep, so there will be a study session in May, and then we're proposing for the June meeting to be holding the public hearing with our final recommendation to carry out the council.
So then let's say we were to make a recommendation today, could that actually change what you recommend, what you present to the Planning Commission? Or is the map that you've got up right now, is that pretty much what you're going to recommend to the Planning Commission?
So what we're doing is we're logging all the public comments we're receiving, and there are a number of corridors that we recognize that we're receiving a lot of activity on, more comments on, and we're probably going to flag those for additional discussion by the Planning Commission and see if it's something that would be proposed that they give us direction to change.
Okay, that's great. So then let me first of all, the website is great, and we were thrilled to see that you actually are doing some down classifications from arterials to collectors. That's really great. So, and the issue really is not widening. From my perspective, the issue is in the reduction of the right-of-way. What that essentially means is that new construction can come out further out than the existing property lines, right, of older buildings, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, so that's really, I believe that's our only sticking point with this. Okay, so
let me clarify, sorry, Carlos. It's going to not require us to force a setback on redevelopment and to support new development. So it may or may not align with the historic structures, for example, on First Avenue, if we were to enforce the MSNR. New development would be set back significantly further than the historic structures as a function of the current MSNR. With our reduction of that width, it'll actually bring them a little bit closer to where the current buildings sit, because we're trying to work with that existing right-of-way. That said, there will be some difference. So any areas that were developed under the MSNR, there probably is going to be that kind of jagged street edge. So on the northern section of First Avenue where the MSNR is going to apply, because bigger setbacks, the newer development would actually be allowed to come closer to the street.
Okay, because that's what we're kind of have a problem with, because setback is fairly crucial in historic streetscapes. And for instance, a lot of the reductions, well, I just noted a few. Some of the reductions, well, the Miracle Mile Historic District, the entire thing is up for reduction. So is West University Historic District, Feldman's, the roads going, these are roads adjacent to Feldman's, Jefferson Park, Colonial Solana, El Encanto, and Sam Hughes. So that's, you know, that seems somewhat problematic. I mean, right there in the UDC, you know, it talks all, there's an entire chapter on setbacks. And so, and this is really done, what, to have new development, give them a few more square feet by changing the entire streetscape?
Essentially, it would make those parcels more developable and more attractive for infill development. Also, I think supporting the type of development that's going to be more conducive to kind of pedestrian comfort and activity, creating that better street wall. I would argue that in many of those cases, the MS&R was working against those goals of historic preservation. We looked at some of those locations, and we saw that if there were new development, we would actually be enforcing a greater setback to meet the goals of the MS&R than we currently have on this frontage. That said, we had an exception process that, in a historic context like that, we wouldn't necessarily be enforcing that. So like any policies, there's going to be many layers to it.
I would just hope that there would be a special consideration for roads that are adjacent to historic preservation zones or historic districts. That's a tiny fraction of the roads that that you're talking about. So that's really the whole plan is the only problems I guess that we have.
Yeah, Carlos, I want to come back to you in just a second, but let's have Steve speak, and then I want to and then Carlos, maybe you need to make a motion so you can write, the subcommittee can write a little. We have to move on.
Sure, we'll do.
So
that.
Steve, go ahead.
This was exactly my concern, is the maintenance of the historic streetscape and prevailing setbacks, historic districts, and especially HPZ zones. So, and I also wanted to let you know that I'm supposed to teach a class a minute ago, so I will need to go. But
this, 131. Okay.
Yeah, I definitely am. Carlos, you hit exactly my concern, and I think a motion is really appropriate.
Thank you, Steve. Kent, can we just move ahead?
I'm late now for my doctor.
Oh, okay, so you're up at 131. We're still okay for a quorum, aren't we, Carla?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
And then Ken at 132 and Steve at 131. Okay, go ahead with your motion, Carlos. Thank you, Patrick. Okay.
So the motion would be regarding the major street, item 12, major streets and roads amendment. I move that the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission write a comment to DTM, CCing the Planning Commission, Mayor and Council, etc., that no upclassification or right-of-way change or additions be made to sections of road within or adjacent to city historic preservation zones, National Register historic districts, or sections of roads with a significant number of buildings that are 50 years old or older.
Did you want to add about landmarks?
I'm sorry, what?
Did you want to add about landmarks?
And landmarks, so amended.
Okay, who's seconding?
This is Blake, I'll second.
Okay, Blake will second. Okay, and Carlos, can you send me that motion? Can you email it to me?
That'd sure.
Be great. Is there any discussion? Okay, let's go ahead and call roll on that, please.
Okay. Allison Doggy?
Aye.
Andrew Christopher?
Aye.
Blake Houghton?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Aye.
Gary Miner?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
J.J. Lamb?
Aye.
Julie Rigoli?
Aye.
Kathy Kubish?
Aye.
Maro Rejo?
Aye.
Peter Sear?
Peter, are you still on?
Senator McDonald?
Do you see him on there or no, Carla?
I do see... No. I don't see him. I know he was on the phone.
Yeah, we'll have to figure out when he went out. So Savannah was the last one. I'm sorry.
Yes. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank you. Terry Majewski?
Aye.
And Tim Haggard?
Aye.
All right. Motion passes. It should be 14. 14-0.
Yeah, we're good. Thank you very much, and thanks. I'm sorry we had to rush through that item, but you'll come up with something thoughtful with your subcommittee, I'm sure, Carlos. Okay, let's move on to item 13, City of Tucson Silver Bell Road Widening Project, 4-4 violation update. Ian or Dan, do you have something to report, or is Corin on?
I think Ian can take this one.
Sure. Thanks. The big update is that the State Historic Preservation Office sent a letter to all consulting parties of the programmatic agreement, a letter to the Corps that CC'd all the consulting parties requesting additional information from the Corps on its determinations that both violations were rescinded. So that is pending. The Corps has not provided a response to my knowledge. In the meantime, the city and the county have been working together because as was been presented to the commission, the county has engaged in an intergovernmental agreement many years ago that we are assisting the city with the Section 106 compliance contracting Desert Archaeology, who's been doing the work out there. So as a kind of results of the violations. They've kind of created a stopgap. We've had about 6 months since the last consultation meeting. And the county has approached the city about, now with Desiree being on, taking a step back and transitioning all responsibility over to the city. So county administration and city administration have both agreed. And so Pima County notified the Army Corps of Engineers this past week of its intent to terminate its responsibilities under the special conditions of the 404 permit and to transition over Desert Archaeology's contract to the city, basically removing all responsibility except remaining as a consulting party to the programmatic agreement. So we expect that process to take a couple of months. We're looking at either late summer, early fall to have that transition complete. And then the city will be able to provide updates moving forward on Silverbell. So Desiree, did I cover everything?
Yes, thank you.
Sure. Okay, Ian, we'll leave this on so that you and Desiree can tag team and I'll put both of you on there.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think Desiree's going to be the lead. I'm happy. One important point. We are going to be amending our IGA to kind of remove the contracting and compliance aspect, but remain in an advisory status to provide any assistance to the city throughout the life of this project as needed. So happy to stay on, but the city will be the point, and I think Desiree will be the point, but I'm happy to assist her in updating you.
Well, let's keep you on until that it actually transitions.
Okay.
All right. Item 14 is, I'm sorry, was there something? No? Okay. Item 14 is ASM permitting and policy updates. Ian, do you have an update for us?
Yeah, I do. Two updates. One is that with our Conservation Lands and Resources Department, we have been working with our new board chair, Chair Scott. Chair Scott, for public interest, because part of our mission is advancing the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan, has requested that CLR form an advisory board, a citizen advisory board that is in the works right now. It is not going to be advising on really the compliance programs of what we do, but more on the conservation strategies and to ensure that we're getting public input on conservation priorities related to the 250,000 acres of land that we manage. There'll be more to that in the coming months, but the advisory board is expected to be formed later this summer, and it will be board appointed, and so look for more information on that. Right now we have assembled, it's pretty science-based, looking at representative constituencies in wildlife management, invasive species, in recreation and trails, cultural resources. We're looking at tribal historic preservation officers being on there, tribal members being on there, and so we're still working through that process, but we'll be happy to share the architecture with you as soon as we figure it out. The second thing I have is regarding appointments. We have not forgotten about the appointments. With Supervisor Grijalva resigning and Supervisor Cano coming on, that's really what caused the delay. But now that Supervisor Cano has gotten his feet wet, we're looking at reestablishing some communications with the Chiefs of Staff of our board to get those appointments on a very near agenda. So I have not heard from any commissioner that did not want to seek reappointment. So we are proceeding with recommending that all current commissioners remain. It's just because each board member gets one appointment, other commissioners would take kind of the professional role position as a commissioner. So more details follow, but we expect that process to pick up steam again pretty soon.
Thanks, Ian. I may talk with you about this soon just to make sure we're on the same page or that nothing's changed since we last talked.
Real quick, nothing has changed since we last talked. We just got delayed because of Supervisor Grijalva.
I figured you would have to. So thank you. Okay, item 15 is update on City of Tucson and Pima County preservation programs and processes. 15A is City of Tucson. Desiree, do you have anything, or Dan, to add on this?
I don't have anything to add, since I already gave some updates. But thank you.
Okay, Dan?
I think Dan had to leave.
Okay. All right. 15B is Pima County. Ian, did you want to say anything about the program or process that you haven't already said?
No, the only thing I did want to mention is that on May 28th of this month at 9 a.m., the City of Tucson will be leading a groundbreaking for the Fort Lowell Commissary and Donaldson House. The mayor's expected to be there. Chair Scott's expected to be there. All of you are welcome to attend. Again, it's a city bond project that the city has asked the county to actually construct and design. So again, it's a joint venture between the city and the county. And that groundbreaking again is May 28th at 9 a.m. at Fort Lowell.
Okay, thank you. Is there something like formal about that I could have Carla send out to people, or is it just?
Unfortunately, not right now. They're still coordinating speakers. Desiree, I'm not sure on the city side. I've been working with Jasmine. If all I received was an invite that I was able to forward to Chair Scott and so forth, but there's no kind of flyer or save the date or anything. But if you
can ask,
yeah, or just shoot me an email, then I can look at it. And it doesn't have to be fancy, just so that I can hear Carla, or I can send out via blind CC to commissioners because some might be interested, especially since Ken is not on right now. You know, he might not.
It'll give Ken a platform to point at Atkins during the entire presentation.
Yeah. Oh gosh, tell me we don't talk. No, just kidding. Thank you. All right.
All right.
16 is Plan Tucson update. Helen, Korn isn't here, so I don't think so. Helen, go ahead.
Yes, so we met on Friday, May 2nd, and Desiree joined us, which was great. And in the process we noticed that we were sort of operating in a pre-Desiree environment, and there were some additions and changes that we would have liked to have made. Carlos also pointed out that a policy that we had recommended to transportation had somehow never actually ended up in transportation. Subsequently, Desiree wrote me and said that at this point, recommendations for changes would have to go directly to mayor and council, and they would be meeting on the 20th. But what I would like to do is propose that we send a letter to mayor and council in advance of that meeting explaining our request for changes, so that when we actually come to the meeting, they will already have this information.
Is that a motion? Okay, who's seconding it?
I'll second.
Okay, and Helen, can you type that motion up and send it to me?
So hold on just a second. So Helen, and that was Andrew, and then motion to write mayor and council?
Right, to summarize our requests at this point.
So good.
They have writing in advance.
Yeah, we're about to lose some more members, so we should probably vote on this. Does everyone understand the motion? Okay, please call roll.
Okay, Allison Doggy?
Aye.
Andrew Christopher?
Aye.
Lake Houghton?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Aye.
Gary Miner?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
J.J. Lamb?
Aye.
Julie Rigoli?
Julie, are you still there? You're on mute, maybe? I can't hear you, Julie.
I see her.
But aye.
Okay, I'm here.
Yeah, Kathy Kubish?
Aye.
Mario Trejo?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Let's see, Steph, no. Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Hecker?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Okay, she may have left, but I didn't see a message from her.
No, so motion passes 13-0.
Okay, well, winning down. Also, I wanted to let you know, Carla, that Savannah McDonald has to leave at 1:50 to mark her off at that time. I asked her to stay on for this vote.
Okay.
So thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Is that all, Helen?
Yes, that's it.
Okay, we got it. And so you're going to provide me that letter?
Correct.
Okay, and if you'd let me know what your schedule is for that, just let me know offline. Okay, item 17 is Pima Prosper's update. Let's see, Courtney and JJ.
Courtney, would you like to go first?
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Lamb. We are currently in the 60-day review period, so we're reviewing what's called a 60-day review draft, which is posted online on the Pima Prosper's 2025 webpage. And the county staff, I've been meeting with the working group every Monday morning for the past 2 months. And the last couple of times we have had excellent presentations from Stephanie Phillips from San Antonio and Emily Freeman from Boulder, and also accompanied by Anthony Baker, a student from CU Denver, on the concept of deconstruction. And so we're all very excited about applying this concept in the future and working it into Pima Prosper's 2025 as policy. The working group has asked me to provide a definition, and maybe we could have a discussion on the concept of heritage connections, which was first used in the Sienega Corridor plan in 2020. And the team who helped me assist in drafting that management plan came up with that term. So that was the first time Pima County really used the term. And so I'd like to ask if, in the interest of time, we would like to postpone this discussion, maybe have it agendized, or would you like me to provide that definition and have that discussion?
You guys are meeting again early next week, correct?
Monday.
Yeah, so let's just, if you could hold off on that would be great, since I don't want to lose a quorum. Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
JJ, did you want to add anything?
No, Courtney did a great job, and I'll just say I appreciate all the work Ricky has done in bringing on board, arranging for special speakers, and to Courtney, we're having Jenny Neely on Monday, and she'll be talking, well, we're really concerned with issues related to open space requirements and development, so she'll be talking about that in the multi-species conservation plan. So, anyway, I'll stop. We've been working really hard, and I appreciate our
team. Yes, you really have. Thank you.
One other thing.
Sorry. No, go ahead.
Thank you. I just want to say that I feel like this discussion of deconstruction and also heritage connections, which ties into deconstruction, and also the concepts that were brought up earlier in the meeting on cultural landscapes in general, it's very timely that we start incorporating. And hope, I don't want to ever say it's too late. We've got to keep working towards it, but I feel like it's a very timely discussion.
Thank you. Kathy, did you have something you wanted to add briefly?
Briefly, I would. I'm part of the Pima Prosper's working group, and it occurs to me that this deconstruction subject might also be interesting to the city. And I'd like to extend an invitation to Desiree to our future presentations, this might be something that the city would be interested in as well as the county, because there are demolitions taking place in the city. So, you know, if she would like to come, I think our group would be happy to have her.
Well, thanks.
Thank you.
JJ, you might want to update Kathy on the ideas that outreach and training, you know, some of the speakers we're going to have will be talking about that, so that everyone will get that, and they'll be recorded and available to disseminate more widely for city folks. Yeah.
Yes. absolutely. I'll do that.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Just a lot has been happening. We can't, you know, it's hard to keep people up to date between meetings. All right. Item 18 is update on archaeological site damage at the border. I think that is Commissioner Steer still on?
Yeah. Can you hear me now? I've been coming in and out. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Go ahead. Can you report, please, on that?
Nothing new. I mean, basically, the new administration has resumed the border wall construction. A lot of contracts have gone to some firms in Tucson, and they're working more in the southeastern part of the state, over near the San Bernardino National Wildlife Refuge. And as everyone knows from the newspaper articles and everything, and all the environmental laws on the border have been waived again, so they're pretty much doing what they want to do. That's really all there is. I had a quick question, because I was losing you guys on the discussion of Silver Bell Road widening. Was there any conclusion on that?
You can, if you want, you can call me later, Peter, and I'll update you, okay? Because
okay.
I'm afraid we're going to lose a quorum. Yeah. I have some notes on that. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, any questions for Peter on the border? Okay, if not, item 20 is called to the audience. Were there any comments received by the deadline, Carla or Anna?
No, we didn't receive any on our end.
Okay, thank you. Let's see. Item 21 is thoughts on inclusivity. Does anyone want to share an inclusivity thought? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on. Item 22 is schedule and future agenda items for upcoming meetings. So our next meeting is scheduled for June 11th. Any agenda items should be emailed to me by no later than May 30th.
This is Helen. I would just like to say that the Heritage Connections discussion is something that I think we should agendize for next time and permit Courtney to spend some time telling us about it.
Okay, Courtney, could you send me what that would look like, how much time you would need, and we'll see. We simply can't be doing 2-hour meetings every time. You know, so that would be our scheduled presentation then, for maybe no more than 10 minutes. Could that be done?
Yes.
Andrew has a question. Go ahead.
Not on the specific item, secondly. But,
okay. Well, we're almost there. So do you have a future agenda item?
Sort of. I was wondering if did we ever issue a letter regarding the Spanish Trail building or property?
I
don't know if we did or not.
I don't even remember that being on the agenda.
No, Andrew, okay. but we can reach out to Josue Licea if you want. What was the... Well, we can talk about it. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, we can talk about it offline. They had another fire at the adjacent motel last week, so I think the demolition by neglect concern is getting very, very urgent, so it will be a good time to reach out to him.
Yep, okay, great.
Oh, gosh, thank you for that. Okay, any other future agenda items or people want to reach out to me? And thanks all for hanging in there and for attending this meeting that we rescheduled for this Wednesday instead of next Wednesday. I appreciate it. And so if there's nothing else, I'll go ahead and say that we're adjourned at 1:56. And Carla and Anna, if you just hang on for just a second, I have a question for you. Thank you all very, very much.
Okay.
Bye, thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you, Terry.
Sure, thank you.
Just before I hop off, this is Blake. I wanted to thank Carla again for making the effort to get my name right. Really appreciate it.
Okay.